All right, folks, is it possible that there are entrances or portals to the underworld, aka hell or Hades? Well, that's what we're going to tackle on today's topic. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, guys? It is Friday, November 1st. We are now officially entered into November. We are literally days away into the U.S. election next Tuesday, November 5th. This weekend, we fall back here in America. Our time, our clocks pull back, which I absolutely cannot stand this time of year. When, as far as I love the fall, but I absolutely do not like losing that much daylight. Some of you may like this, some of you may not, but nevertheless, we're there. We're officially there. It's crazy as to think that we've only got one more month left of 2024. It's mind blowing. But anyhow, we appreciate you coming on today. It's the 2 o'clock hour. We've got a good one lined up for you today. This is going to be an interesting topic. I want to show you an article. This is what actually stemmed this whole talking point that we're going to talk about today. Now, this is the article that I'm going to talk about. Here's the headline, quote, "Entrance to the underworld is discovered in Mexico. Archaeologists uncover, quote, the back door of hell and tunnels under an ancient church." Now, before we get started getting really into this today, can you do me a favor? As always, hit that like button. Help us get this out there. Get eyes on our podcast, on our ministry. Also, for your benefit, why don't you go ahead and hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button. It'll be a great blessing to you. And if you want to take it even a step further and don't miss anything that we put out, of course, get our free app today. It's available on Apple and Android. Download it for your benefit. It'll be a blessing to you. Again, it is absolutely free. Hit yes to push notifications, and you'll be squared away and have every headline readily available. All right, tunnels that the ancient Zapotec civilization believed to be the entrance to the underworld have been found beneath a centuries-old church. Mitla, meaning the place of the dead, was a city in southern Mexico known for its association with the Pitoa Bezelo, the Zapotec god of death. And I'm probably sure I slaughtered that as usual, but the Spanish arrived in the 16th century and raised a city, building a church on the ruins of its most important temple. A priest later wrote that the back door of hell lay underneath or under the city. Huge caverns believed to be the entrance to the Zapotec underworld, but they were walled up, he said, and later excavations failed to find anything matching the scale of his description until now. Using non-invasive techniques, archaeologists recently revealed a series of chambers and tunnels. I want you to really remember that, chambers and tunnels beneath the city, because it's going to be interesting when we get into this. 5 different sets of ruins were probed, and the church group, the Arroyo group, the Adobe Group, the South Group, and the Group of the Columns. Marco Vigado, founder of the ARX Project, which is leading the search, said, quote, "Some of the tunnels and chambers extend to a considerable depth in excess of 15 meters. Now, here is, if you're watching the visual of this, again, we welcome everybody here on YouTube and Rumble, and of course, on all of our podcast listeners as well. This is a diagram of what we're talking about. Again, using non-invasive techniques, archaeologists recently revealed a series of chambers and tunnels beneath the city. This is the diagram of which they're speaking of. In the case of the South Group, they're up to 30 meters deep. This is as far as the instruments can penetrate. Now, this reminds me, I'm going to pull this back for a second. Do y'all remember, this went viral years ago. There was a group of excavators or explorers or whatnot that were doing research, and they tried to dig, I believe this was in Siberia, if I'm not mistaken. And they dug as deep as their instruments would go, and they actually got so far into the Earth's core that they reached a place where not only was there extreme heat, but there these instruments that pick up sounds was picking up sounds that would literally sounded like the screams of it sounded like people were being tortured, that people were in pain, they were in great sorrow, and this was all over YouTube. You can go and research this. I'm not going to pull this up today because that's not the aspect I want to go into, but the concept here is still remains. The fact that, again, and I'm going to show you, we're going to get into some scripture today, and I'm going to show you that I believe the best location of hell, and hell is not some mythological concept. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not some made up place. It is a literal place. And I'm going to show you with the help of the scriptures where I believe it's located. All right, one chamber under the Church of San Pablo Apostle measures approximately 15 meters long by 10 meters wide. It is possible that the tunnels, particularly those under the church group, extend further to the north, east, and south. Possibly they connect to other geophysical anomalies identified under other groups. If these are the tunnels of legend, the Zapotec kings may lie within. Now, again, I don't want to get into all that because we could get into mythology and whatnot, but I want to pull away, and you could read on in this article, but it gets into, again, it just kind of reiterates the entire context of what it's talking about. And it's, again, the whole concept here is entrance to the underworld. So that was kind of a foundation, that little bit, that article really stemmed this whole conversation. I want to get into this, and let's just go ahead and get into this now. From all the references that I have researched regarding the location of hell, I believe it is located in the center of the earth or under the earth's surface. Now, where do I come up with this? Okay, again, I'm going to give you these scriptures because if I read all of these guys, this will turn into a 2-hour podcast, and we just can't do that. So I'm going to give you the scriptures. Ready? Psalm 55:15, Isaiah 14:15, Ezekiel 31:16-17, 2 Peter 2:4, and Numbers 16:32-33. All of these passages reference hell being beneath, under the earth, below our feet, and there's interchangeable words. And let's talk about those interchangeable words. There is words for hell in the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. You will hear these words interchanged in the Hebrew and the Greek. For example, Sheol, that's an Old Testament Hebrew for hell. You have Hades, which is a New Testament Greek word for hell. Then you also have Gehenna, which is a New Testament Greek. And then 2 Peter 2, 4, and Jude, both Peter and Jude reference the word Tartarus. And it's in a New Testament Greek word. And it is the lowest chamber of hell. And this is actually where the angels that rebelled or revolted against God. Peter reveals to us there is angels being confined in these compartments of hell, in these lowest chambers of the earth called Tartarus in Greek. And then there's a word used, and this word's used in the book of Revelation, and it's called the abyss. Abyss. In the New Testament, it's abusos in the Greek. So you've got, again, let's recap this. All references of hell as far as location goes seem to indicate that hell is located in the core of the earth, under our feet, below us. And again, there is multiple interchangeable words in Old Testament and New Testament, Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, and Abyss. And all these reference the same location. Now, if we go to Luke chapter 16, again, you could turn there, guys, if you have, by the way, again, you guys listening by Apple or Spotify, again, if you love our content, please do us a favor and give us a good review. Again, hit that like button, guys. We'd love to get at least as many likes as we do watches, as many views, I should say, views. So if we've got 5,000 views, we want to see at least 2,500 likes. Come on, help us out. Get the word out. Luke 16, I believe Luke chapter 16, number one, I do not believe it was a parable. I believe it's literal because every parable that Jesus spoke of, in the context of it, it always alludes to the fact that it is a parable. For example, it would say, "And then Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying this. And then he likened unto a parable and said this." But in the reference of Luke chapter 16, he never said it was a parable. And again, a lot of denominations and even religious groups will try to convince you that Luke 16 is not literal. The Seventh-day Adventists teach this because they don't believe that when the soul and spirit come out of the body, they don't believe that if you're righteous and you're born again and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, they don't believe to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They believe in what's called soul sleep. Now, we did a whole podcast on this. You can go to our YouTube channel, go to the archives, search it out. We did a 45-minute to an hour teaching on this, completely dismantling this, completely disproving the doctrine of soul sleep. Again, the Apostle Paul told us clearly to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Such a man was taken up into the third heaven, into paradise. And John the Revelator explains to us where paradise is located, because he tells us in the book of Revelation that there is a compartment under the throne room of God, wherein which John saw the souls that had already departed. They're dead, and they're up there in heaven under the throne room of God in the third heaven, and they are crying out saying, "How long, O Lord, shall until you avenge our blood?" Again, if soul sleep had any merit to it, if it held any water, then please tell me, how are these souls under the throne room of God? How do they have a recollection, or how can they acknowledge that their blood had not yet been avenged? Because again, they are in heaven. So again, the righteous go up. The angels of the Lord, in Luke 16, it tells us the angels of the Lord take our soul and spirit, and they take us to God. In the Old Testament, those angels would take the righteous to a compartment under the earth called Abraham's bosom. Now, this compartment was separated with a great gulf fixed, wherein which it separated Abraham's bosom from Hades. And the lower compartment was Hades, or hell. And this is where the rich man went. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell. Now, don't miss this. Again, what are we talking about? We're talking about the location of hell. We're not, this is not a teaching on trying to prove hell is real and where your soul and spirit go out of your body. Even though we've covered that, that's not what our focus is the location. Again, your Bible says that when the rich man died, he lifted up his eyes in torment. He was in hell beneath the earth. Okay, so we've kind of clarified that here. Now, I will pull up a couple scriptures here. This is Deuteronomy 32:22. Look at this. "For a fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the," look what he says here, "the lowest hell." Okay, this is again the Lord speaking. "It shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." Now, this is important here. Notice the Lord references the lowest hell. He talks about hell, and he mentions the foundations of the mountains. This is very important because I'm going to show you something. To me, it's profound. I love this kind of stuff. And when we get into this, and it gets very intriguing to me. Now, let's go to I'm not going to turn it. I'll pull this particular verse up, but we're not going to read all of this, these entire chapters. But I want to take you to Jonah. I'm going to be referencing Jonah chapters 1 and 2. All right, again, this is going to be Jonah chapter 2. Now, we all know this, the backdrop of this. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh and preach repentance to the city of Nineveh, but he rebelled against God. He didn't want to do it. He went into completely defiance to God. He got onto a ship, was sailed in the opposite direction. God began to shake up his whole life, shake up the vessel in which he was in. They tossed him over the boat. And then we get to Jonah chapter 2. Now watch what happens. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from his fish's belly. All right, stop. Here's what happened. All right, so when Jonah was tossed out of this boat, guys, he literally drowned. Jonah died by drowning, was swallowed by a whale. And the reason why God sent this whale to swallow up Jonah was to preserve his body and to enable to bring his soul and spirit back into his body. Literally, Jonah was raised from the dead supernaturally. Jonah died. He was not physically alive inside the belly of the whale. I know some people have taught that. No, Jonah died. He went to, and I'm going to prove to you in a second, he went to the one of, I believe there's not just one of the entrances to hell, to the underworld. He drowned and God literally put his, and God swallowed up his physical body by will so that his physical body could be preserved so that God could put his soul and spirit back in his body. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about here. Now, watch this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, look at this. Out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of hell, I cried. Not the belly of the whale. Jonah's out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, and this is another word. It's interesting. It's to home. We just talked about this. This word deep. Again, this is the same Hebrew word in Genesis 1, where it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, on the to home. All right, into the heart of the seas and the floods. Look at this. The floods surrounded me. All right, we're going through this. All of your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Look at this. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. Remember we talked about this when we went over here to Deuteronomy? Remember over here it talks about, again, God references the lowest of hell, and he talks about setting on fire the foundation of the mountains. Now, there's this connection here with the foundation of the mountains and the lowest parts of hell. Now, let's go back here. He says, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Look at this. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. Now, I'm going to prove. Now, some of y'all are like, wait a minute. I don't know if I believe that. Well, listen to me. Why do you think Jesus referenced this entire story when he said in Matthew 12:40, listen to this very closely, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Whoa. Guys, that's Matthew 12:40. Okay, let me pull that scripture up on the screen. Now, I had to take you to these other passages before we go here, because now this is all going to make sense to you. Jesus said, again, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, remember his body was preserved there, but he had drowned, and he was at the entrance of hell, at one of the locations, or one of the entrances to hell, to the underworld. This, because he mentions bars under the earth, under the mountains, at the bottom of the ocean. Okay. Now look at this. For as Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. Where? In the heart of the earth. Well, wait a minute. Where is the heart of the earth? The Son of Man's going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth? Yes, because when Jesus gave up the Spirit on the cross, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's in your Bible. That's in Ephesians 4, 9. He first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And what did he do down there? According to the book of Hebrews, he went down there and preached to the spirits of the dead. Wait a minute. Who were those spirits? Those spirits were the saints that had died under the old covenant who were in Abraham's bosom. So Jesus went down there and preached to them, come on, that he was the Messiah and that now he is. And the Bible says he led captivity captive. And the Bible says that that hell has enlarged herself. How did it enlarge itself? Because, oh, come on, somebody. Because Jesus caused a vacuum. You know how he caused a vacuum in the heart of the earth? Because he led captivity captive. He took those souls out of Abraham's bosom and relocated paradise from under the earth to the third heaven, which Paul gives us the revelation of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to prove it to you. Where did those souls came out of the grave, according to your gospel in Matthew, when Jesus gave up the Spirit, the Bible says, and many of the graves of the old were open, and many of the saints of old were seen walking about the streets. Who in the world were these people? These people were those who had died under the old covenant, under the law of Moses. They came out of Abraham's bosom. And I believe when Jesus went up into a cloud in heaven to receive him, Acts chapter 1, with a great, I believe that this cloud is more than just a puffy cloud. I believe it's a Greek idiom. The word cloud is a Greek idiom used in that day. The Romans used it all the time in expression to a great cloud of soldiers. It was an expression meaning a great numerous army, a great number of soldiers. And if you go to Hebrews, it says, since we are surrounded about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. All right, so we've established, I'm hoping I've done a pretty good job of establishing the fact that I believe the most likely location of hell, Hades, is under the earth. Now, we know according to Jonah's reference that there appear, and again, Deuteronomy talks about this, it appears that there could be, and it looks, at least I believe this, again, this is a talking point that I think is very interesting. I believe there is entrances to the underworld, just like, oh, come on, watch this. I'm going to show you something in the Bible here. This is what really got me. In Revelation 21, I'm going to read this. This is the description of the new heaven and new earth that's coming down. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is, again, Revelation 21. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. By the way, isn't it? I just want to let you know that when we go to heaven, the third heaven in paradise with God, we're not going to stay there. We're coming back. We're not going to stay up in the clouds up in heaven. We're coming back. Jude, come on, here's what Jude says about it. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all for their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So notice here, again, the Lord's coming back with the saints. So we're not staying up in heaven. Now let me go back here to Revelation. All right. So the new city, Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now, look, we're going to scroll down here. I want to show you something. When we go all the way down here, there's more description about this holy city. Look at this. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, interesting, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall. By the way, God believes in walls around cities, just saying. Now look at this, with 12 gates. Somebody say 12 gates. Type that in the chat, 12 gates. Why is it interesting? Because notice, again, the new city, the new Jerusalem will have 12 gates, okay, or 12 entrances to the new city of Jerusalem. Now, here's what's intriguing. As I dug into this and did some research, there appears to be, and this is old research, this has been around for a long time. You can go dig and search and Google it and all you want. There appears to be what is called, ready for this, 12 vortices, or we could say 12 gates, entrances, or portals. You can just interchange these words, vortices, portals, entrances, gates. Nevertheless, there appears to be 12 of these regions across the planet. Wow. Now listen to this. One of these areas is the Devil's Sea region. Let's talk about this just for a second, because I can't spend a lot of time on this, guys, because, again, I don't want to make this an hour podcast. The Devil's Sea, otherwise known as the Dragon's Triangle, that's very interesting, is a region in the Pacific Ocean that has come to be associated with numerous accounts of disappearing ships, planes, sightings of quote-unquote ghost ships and islands, extreme weather, and electromagnetic disturbances, with all kinds of historical accounts of strange phenomena stemming back at least 3,000 years. Now, another location, and this one's, if you're not familiar with the Devil's Sea Triangle, this one may catch your attention. You ever heard of the Bermuda Triangle? That's another one. This is, again, these are two of 12. In fact, I'm going to read this. A Scottish biologist by the name of Ivan T. Sanderson. We want to credit him who did the research. He's the one who originally discovered this. He cataloged what he believed was 12 vortices on the planet. And all of these locations, again, the Devil's Triangle, the Bermuda Triangle, and there's 10 other of these locations. And all of these locations have what he called high electromagnetic aberrations. The 12 sites are located in a pattern around the Earth and are situated in the same latitudes north and south of the equator, the most famous one being the Bermuda Triangle. Sanderson believed that the electromagnetic disturbances are caused by hot and cold currents crossing at these points, which could affect navigational instruments and vessels and perhaps account for missing ships and planes and other mysterious phenomena. And if you want to know, again, here is the, if you're watching the visual of this, here is the map of these 12 locations. So right there in front of you, again, you've got all, when he lays out the map, these are these 12 locations, or what he called 12 vortices or portals in the earth. Now, when you dig on and you read on in his research, he tries his best to give a, quote, scientific explanation. But then there's an hypothesis that there is something, come on, in the unseen realm that remains a mystery, remains a phenomena. And that, to me, friends, is what's intriguing, because I'm going to propose, we're going to close this podcast right here. Remember, guys, give us a like button. Help us get the word out there. We appreciate it. Let me know your thoughts as well. I'd love to hear from you. in the chat, in the comments. What do you think about this? Is this possible that just like there is 12 entrances to, there will be 12 entrances to the New Jerusalem? And we know, guys, that Satan is a big counterfeit. Satan likes to counterfeit everything. He likes to counterfeit what God does in the earth. For everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Oh, I could preach 30 minutes on that alone. Come on, there's a real gift of speaking in tongues that by the Holy Spirit, but then there is a false counterfeit speaking in tongues. There's a real Holy Spirit given by God, but then there is a counterfeit spirit of Satan. There's demonic spirits. One of those spirits, called a Kundalini spirit, is one of the most close replicas to the Holy Spirit as far as many of the manifestations that are presented. And I probably shouldn't even open that can of worms, but that's a whole other study. In fact, we've talked about that, and we have that archived as well. There's a false Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, the bottom line is, guys, before I open that can and can't get the lid back on it, everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. So it would not surprise me, and this is not so far beyond reasoning, that if there's 12 entrances to the new city, Jerusalem, why would there not be 12 entrances to the underworld, which, again, I believe all scripture confirms is under the earth and in the sea, in these sea locations. Look at all the bizarre. Again, we could take a 2-hour podcast, guys, and I could pull all kinds of research of the mysterious, just flat out eerie, scary, creepy, and disturbing situations and events that has been centered around these 12 locations. Now, you get a lot of spotlight on the Bermuda Triangle, because that's the one that really sticks out. But there's, again, that's not the only place. These locations in the earth, there has been missing, we're talking about missing aircraft, vessels, sailor people, entire ships filled with people just completely vanished without a trace. And to this day, nobody knows where they went. Now, I know your mind is like, wait a minute, but do you know that in the Bible, there was a group of individuals called the Sons of Korah, and they rebelled against Moses? And your Bible says, and again, this is in your Bible, that God opened up the earth and they were swallowed alive into hell. Again, under the earth, swallowed alive into hell. So again, I know this is somebody's mind's blown today, but you know what I hope this does? I hope this sparks interest. I hope this gets you to go out here and research this, because I think this is intriguing. I love this kind of stuff. Again, let me know what you think about it. Again, we'd love to hear your comments in the comment section, in the chat. And again, even you guys on Apple and Spotify, if you can find a way to get over here, give us some comments on this. Let us know what you think. And hey, if you've got something maybe that I didn't bring up, and I'm sure you probably did, because again, I gave you the cliff notes on this and really shortened this down, because again, we don't want this to go way, way too long. So I'd love to hear some of your insights on this if you haven't. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, if you don't have our free app, we'd love for you to download it today. It's available on Apple and Android. All you got to do is hit yes to push notifications. Every podcast, every breaking news update, all the articles, everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. It's going to be a great blessing to you. And as always, guys, we would love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. Our ministry is operated through your partnership. We are partner-based ministry, meaning we're not a 501c3, okay? Number two, we don't sell merchandise. We don't sell products. We don't do any of that. We are strictly a partner-supported ministry through partners just like you. So if you'd like to become a partner, there's two different ways. You can give electronically through different means, It's all there on the website, right there in front of you, the app, the website, you at the top of the YouTube, in this podcast, there's a video, there's it says support right there in the chat. You can just click there or in the comments, and there's a link there. And also, if you wish to give by check or money order, right there on your screen, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So, guys, we're going to sign off for this afternoon. We'll be back here tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. This is going to be an interesting topic tonight. I'm going to talk about why, not as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, but why as a believer in Christ, I oppose the shedding of innocent blood or the deletion of a unborn. I'm trying to avoid using the trigger word here because of all these algorithm stuff. We want to get the podcast out there. I'm going to show you why, from a Christian perspective, why I oppose it. We're going to get deep into the scriptures. Okay. I'm going to share a testimony with you. So we're going to have a great time tonight, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Hope to see you tonight. Until then, I pray that the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.